2014, the year of victory over death and the manifestation of love. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Tonight, I want you to hear from my feminine side. Christine is my feminine side. She's an incredible woman of God. She's always been ahead of me in areas of faith, always has. Maybe that's why God talks to me and what he does.
So I want to bless you tonight with her gifting, with her anointing, my girlfriend, my wife, Christina.
Hi. Oh, so nice to be here. Thank you for the warm welcome. I had always said to the Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. And I believe he... Oh, sit down. Get comfortable. And I believe what he has asked me to do is just tell my people... I love them.
Amen.
So really, I don't know where you are in that. See, I grew up Catholic and not like big deal Catholic, like meaning went to church kind of, you know, on the holidays maybe. God and, you know, they always said God is love, but, you know, he'll punish you and, you know, watch out because he'll get you.
Yeah.
And it's really been interesting to find out that he really loves you and he's your father and he's the best father that there ever was, because not everybody had a great natural father, biological father. So sometimes when you say God is a father, that doesn't bring great feelings and memories. But you have to imagine, if you could pick the ideal father, God is way, way beyond that.
Amen.
So if anybody here is a parent, then you also know what it feels like to have a child and how much you love your child. So, what do you want for your child? You want the best. You would never hurt your child. You would never want them to be poor and suffering and sick. Would you do something to your child to hurt them, to teach them a lesson? I don't think so. Never. Never. You would never intentionally hurt your child. So, why do we say this about God? I've heard it. I've heard, well, I got this cancer, and I know God's trying to teach me something through it. That is a lie from the enemy. God loves you. He doesn't have sickness to give you.
Amen.
There's no sickness in heaven.
Amen.
How can he give you sickness if he doesn't have it to give? Jesus healed you already. You know you're already healed, right?
Yep.
Amen.
Nobody in here is trying to get healed, right?
Amen.
You're already healed.
Amen.
Jesus bought and paid for your healing. So you're already healed. You know, if you're in the army and you have to hold your ground, right? So you're on the top of a mountain and you have to hold your ground. You have to hold your ground of health because the enemy is going to try and take that away from you. It's much easier to hold your position than it is to take the position. There are some people that say, I'm trying to get my healing. Why are you trying to get your healing if you already have it? God provided it all. Why? Because he loves you. He wants you healthy. He wants you wealthy. He wants you wise.
Amen.
He wants you happy.
Amen.
He wants you joyful. He wants you to have every good thing.
Amen.
Please don't believe me. Look in your Bibles and find out for yourself, because it's in there. I swear it's in there. So I'm not going to find all the places where it is. You find them. Dig in there and find out how much God loves you. And guess what's so great? It doesn't matter what you've done. Because God doesn't love you based on what you've done. Or even what you're going to do. It's all covered. Jesus took care of it all. Past, present, and future. All your sins have already been washed clean. There's nothing you can do, nothing that you've done, that would make God disappointed in you.
Amen.
Because when he sees you, he sees perfection.
Amen.
When God sees you, he sees the best.
Amen.
The problem is, when we see us, we see all the pimples and the wrinkles and the past and the not so good things we did. That's just junk. We're not perfect in our flesh yet. We're not perfect in our mind yet. But your spirit is perfect.
Amen.
So all you have to do now is get closer to the spirit with your mind and with your body.
Amen.
Just keep getting closer. Well, how do I do that? Get your Bible and read it and wash out all the junk and put in all the stuff that God wants you to know, which is the truth.
Amen.
He loves you.
Amen.
He loves you.
Amen.
He loves you. I really don't have anything else to say.
Amen.
I just want to make sure you know that God loves you.
Amen.
Really loves you. He's not going to punish you.
Amen.
Because Jesus took it
Amen.
For you.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to read something out of the Bible. Is that okay? You guys read the Bible here?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Isaiah 26:3.
Oh, yes. Amen.
You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Really? Sounds like a promise.
Amen.
And we just sang something that he's going to keep his promises?
Yeah.
Did you ever read the sentence before that line? I was talking to Pastor Albert in the back, and I said, Pastor Albert, I really believe that the Lord would have me speak about righteousness tonight. So we went to the scripture, and I promise I didn't look at this before. I really didn't. This was the first time I saw this, was in his office. If you go to number 2:26:2, it says, open the gates so that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. So, do you believe that he will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is steadfast on him because you trust him? Do you really believe that? Do you understand what that means? Truly. Because, and this is from Holy Spirit right now. I don't think you do. I don't think you really get what he's saying there. He's saying that when you know you're the righteousness of God, he'll keep you in perfect peace because you and him are just like this. There's nothing you can do, like Christina was saying, there's nothing you can do that can ever make him disappointed in you. Ever. Even in the middle of a willful sin. Willful. And then there was silence. That was a good spot for a hallelujah. So you know. Thank you. Coffee. Coffee for the rescue. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
That needs to be cultivated in the body of Christ. You are the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God.
Amen.
What does that mean to you? We went to a church when we first got saved. We were in a church called Jesus Revival Church. What a name, huh? Jesus Revival Church. And we're from New York, so pastors there are named Pastor Vinny, Pastor Rocco, Pastor Tony, Pastor Mike. We had Pastor Rocco. And for 7 years, every Sunday, all we ever heard was, you're the righteousness of God. And for the first 3 years, I didn't even know what that meant. But he said it with such conviction, he was convinced he was the righteousness of God. He was convinced of it so much so that I started becoming convinced that I was the righteousness of God, not even knowing what the righteousness of God means. Because he spoke that into our life. Pastor Rocco. You are the righteousness of God. And the only way Isaiah 26:3 is going to work is if you have a revelation of Hebrews 10:35. You are the righteousness of God.
Amen.
There's nothing you could do to change it. I don't know why you'd want to. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you this much. People in the body of Christ don't know they're the righteousness of God. Mm. And that's why they're still living like the world. They're sick, they're broke, they're disgusted, they're through divorce, it's a mess. It needs to be cultivated, this thing of being the righteousness of God. When you get the revelation that you are indeed the very righteousness of God, and you start speaking that thing over your life, you will start understanding and learning how to focus and function in your authority given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Authority over what? Authority over sickness? Mm. Authority over lack? Mm. Authority over... man. Power. He gave you power. Mm. Oh. You know, there was a time when God became, you know, he was so upset. He was sorry he even made man. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to wipe them all out. And what did Moses do? Moses got in his face and said, you will not. Here's Moses, like he had a right, goes up to God and says, you will not wipe them. And you have a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you will. And what the Bible says, he changed his mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this a minute, people.
Yeah.
Moses over the blood of some goats gets in God's face and calls him out on something.
Why can't he even have a right to do that?
Over the blood of a goat.
Yeah.
We got the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And we're freaking out on our phone bill.
Amen.
We don't know how to pay the phone bill. Oh, it's devil! Hello!
Amen.
You got the blood of Jesus!
Blood of Jesus.
And you're thinking about how I'm going to pay this phone bill?
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, Moses is busy changing God's mind over the blood of some goats?
Yeah.
No. Check this out. Because really, the best way to overcome, the only way that I know of, is by the blood of the Lamb.
Yep.
The word of our testimony.
Mm-hmm.
We had a friend, he was going to court. You know, something happened in his auto shop, he was a mechanic. And something happened, and he had a witness, and he was going to court to fight this thing, whatever it was. So I went with him, I just kind of went with him, you know. I like court dramas, you know, whatever. And I'm there, and his witness isn't showing up. And he's like, oh man, where is this guy? You know, I need this guy so that, you know, I can present my case. I have a witness who saw everything. He can testify to what he saw, and it's just not my word. And now, it's my word against this guy's word. And he never showed up, and he didn't win the case. And I went, Now, I had been witnessing to this guy. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I turned to him, and I said, see how important a witness is? You see how important a testimony is? You could have overcame this case.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. So, okay. We have a park across the street from our house. I'm going to tell you some stories, and then we're going to get into some. We're going to do hands-on. And I'm not saying we're going to lay hands. We're going to put you to work. All right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So one night, I'm, you know, walking through the park, because you're not supposed to be in the park after dark. And my friend Bill is sick, so I'm walking out there by myself. I have a big flashlight, and I see these two guys down by the gazebo, and they're smoking pot, and they're just, you know, whatever. And there's them, and there's the sidewalk, and then there's the dark Delaware River, 20-foot drop. And there's me. I'm walking. I'm going to shine a light in the face. I'm not going to do that. But I said, hey, guys. I said, not supposed to be in the park after dark. Don't mean to rain on your parade here, but I'm also going to pretend I don't even smell that. But you got to go. You have to leave. What gives you the right to say that? Well, a few years before, the Lord said, that's your park. And I went, thank you, Lord. And he said, now take it. And we live in the city of righteousness.
Amen.
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 We live there. Yeah. Now that we're there, it's the city of righteousness.
Amen.
And that's not coming from a place of arrogance or cockiness. That's coming from a place of confidence.
Amen.
That I chose not to cast away because it has great recompense, a reward, Hebrews 10:35.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. If I'm the righteousness of God, and this is my park, you gotta go.
Yeah.
Amen.
Why? Because the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not him think he may receive anything from the Lord. So what am I going to do? Well, you better call the cops. I'm not going to go out there and put myself in danger. Excuse me. This is my park.
Yeah.
You're doing something wrong. You have to leave.
Amen.
And I don't care if you smoke a pot or not. You're in the park at the wrong time, and you've got to go. So check this out. So I go up to them, and they're like, well, who the heck are you? Well, what if we don't leave? And I'm like, well, you got to leave. You got to go. I said, you know, if you don't, we can do this the hard way. And I started taking off my jacket. Don't ask me why I was taking my jacket. Take it off. That was put it on the railing, and I'm like... And they both get up, and they're big guys, and they start approaching me, and I'm like, in my head, I'm gonna die. I didn't say that. I thought it. The devil gave me a thought of death. I went, I'm going to die. The minute you speak it, it becomes your thought.
That's right.
And now he comes into agreement with it and says, I agree, let's see what I do to make it worse.
Yes.
And there you go.
Yes.
Because he knows his power in agreement.
Yes. You mean for the devil too?
Yeah. There's power in agreement. He gives you a thought, hopes you start speaking it so he can agree and make it worse. Mm. So I'm thinking, I'm going to die. Inside I said that. Outside I was like, what's up? This is my park. He says, you out here alone? I said, you think I'd be stupid enough to come out here by myself? They start walking toward me. I'm like, I guess let's go. I guess we're gonna dance now. All of a sudden, black sky, black river. Two huge white as ever lights bouncing down around us. They're like, what? And they said some stuff. No, we're just kidding. We're just messing with you. And they, two fat guys, ran. I couldn't believe how fast. I'm like, wow. I remember thinking, they're running so fast. Like I think God was protecting my mental capacity. Because I think I don't know what would have happened. I think my head would have exploded. I don't know. It was too much for my head to wrap around. I didn't see the helicopter. I just saw the lights. And I heard the sound of what I figured had to have been a helicopter. Never actually saw the helicopter. Three of us. I don't believe they saw it either. As soon as they ran off, I'm waiting for them to be out of sight. And I run home. Gave it all. I'm like, I run to say, Chris. And if you know my wife, if Law and Order is on, don't talk to her. Or CSI, anything. I'm like, Chris, you have to leave what happened. This is how it happened. And these two guys, and I ran out of the park, and I ran. And she's like, shh. Gave it all. And I'm like, this is our life. Commercial. Yes? I said, okay, here's what happened. And she said, hey, it was an angel. So that story's on our website. With a recreation of what the helicopter kind of looked like. But I still don't even... It's still not really good because you could make out a helicopter. So it's on the website. Another time. We're in Atlanta Bread. We went there at the church. There was a bunch of us. The church actually that we got kicked out of. What? You got... Yeah. Two churches we got kicked out of in 7 months. Told us to leave. Wait, what's we here? Leave. Anyway, we're in Atlanta, right? And we're waiting online. And the Holy Spirit says to me, I'll just go talk to David. I said, David? And there was a David with us. He's actually the son of the guy that I went to court with that time. He's talking with his dad. I said, well, I'll talk to him. We're going to his house later anyway. I'll talk to David then. The Holy Spirit, I'm waiting to get some lunch. So the Holy Spirit says to me again, I'll just go talk to David. I said, Holy Spirit, he's talking to his father right now. I ain't gonna talk to David. I'll talk to him later. He's right there. He's sitting at the... What, go talk to him now? Yeah, talk to him now. I said, but... And I'm thinking it's David. And it wasn't David. It was some guy I didn't even know. So we're online. And I happen to be like looking around, and I see this guy on his PC, very sharp looking dude, handsome guy, and he's typing, just tie, I mean really sharp. I said, Holy Spirit, that's David, isn't it? He goes, yeah, why don't you go talk to David? Just like that. So I walk up to this dude, and he's, you know, like really like knows what he's doing. So I said, hey, David? And he's like, yeah? I'm like, not even missed a beat, nothing. I'm like, name is David. That's cool. I said, well, listen, I don't know. Now, you have to understand, he's typing. He's not even looking up at me. He doesn't even know if he knows me. I said, yeah, if you're like reading a book and someone says, Ben, would you be like, uh-huh? I think the natural instinct would be like, yeah, like to see who it is.
Yeah.
Nothing. I said, listen, because now this is already annoying me. I said, listen, I don't know what you believe, but I believe the Holy Spirit has a word for you. As soon as I said that, he went, what is it? He stopped what he was doing. What is it? And I went, I don't know. I don't know what it is. You tell me you have a word from the Holy Spirit and you don't know what is it? What is it? What is it? And I'm like, dude, and I'm like, Holy Spirit, you didn't bring me this far. Let's go. I'm going to belt this guy. I'm going to enjoy pummeling this dude. Holy Spirit, you better stop talking. So I think the Holy Spirit just wanted me to sweat a little bit. This is me, you know. And he goes, well, what's the word? And I said, and the Holy Spirit put something on my heart that I told him about some business deal. And he goes, is that it? I said, yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Whoa.
You know, I'm like, I guess we're done. Walk away. We're going to say goodbye. Like, hey, thanks, Connor. Hey, appreciate it. Not that I'm looking for, like, a pat on the back. But I'm just, you know, it's like a normal human being. You say, oh, okay, no problem. Hey, what's your name? I never told him my name. I mean, none of that. Just, okay, thanks. Okay. Is that it? Yeah. Thank you. Okay, fine. We sit down. Now, I have a clear shot of this guy from where we're sitting. He really annoyed me, this dude. So, look, I'm just, can I be honest?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
But give me a break. I'm going to follow you home and watch you get all annoyed and moody when you're in the dark in the corner. Give me a break. Anyway, so, don't look at me like that, Coffee. Anyway, so, we're eating. He gets up, and as he's leaving, I said, later, Dave. And he went, see you later, Frank. And walked away.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm looking. I said, that was wow. So, the next day, I tell my pastor, I give him the whole thing. He's like, oh, yeah, it was an angel. I'm like, that was an angel? Oh, Frank. Like, because I'm so stupid. He gives me the lines in the Bible. You'll sometimes entertain angels. Without knowing about it. Okay. I do believe it was an angel. And I do believe when I get to heaven, I'm going to see him again.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And he better not be on his laptop either when I see him. Shoot, man, that was like, it was humbling, but it was cool in the same way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could not have this kind of relationship with the Lord if I didn't know who I was.
That's right.
I know who I am right now today. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's who I am.
Amen.
And that's who you are.
Amen.
The problem, though, that we run into, who can I pick on? You I can pick on. Are you the righteousness of God?
I am.
Tell me.
I am the goodness of God.
I didn't say the goodness of God.
I
said the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness of God.
Okay, you have no problem saying that, right?
No.
Okay, now watch. You have any problem saying that, Ben?
No.
Say.
I am the righteousness of God.
Good. Now sin and say you're the righteousness of God.
It's going to be difficult.
Oh, why? It doesn't change anything. See what happens? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Good. Now sin and say you're the righteousness of God. He's giving me a license to sin. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a license to be righteous.
That's right.
You've been sitting this long without a license, so what is the license going to do? When you say you're the righteousness of God, and then you sin, and you can't say you're the righteousness of God then because you think in your head that it's still about what you're going to do to determine who
that's
you
right.
are. And that's not
that's right.
what the Bible says.
That's right.
And because of grace, where sin abounds, so much more grace abounds.
Right.
Oh, you one of these grace preachers? You one of these prosperity preachers? Yeah, whatever that means. Because it's all the gospel.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm a gospel preacher.
Yeah.
You want to call me a faith? Oh, he's word of faith. Oh, he's this, he's that. I'm the righteousness of God. All right, so shut up. How's that?
Amen.
Let's go look at your life now. You want to label me something? If you're going to label me, I better have stuff that backs that up. I'm the righteousness of God. I sin. Guilt and condemnation come in. And then fear. And now I feel bad for what I did. How can I say I'm the righteousness of God after what I did? I feel so bad. So let me just not... I'm going to stop going to church on Wednesdays. I don't want to show myself, because I know some of my friends are there, and I know how good they're doing, and they're walking, because I know everything, because, you know, I just know I know the heart of every person in the world, especially those who go to church. So they'll see right through me. They'll know I sin. I'm not going to go this Sunday. I'm not going to, and you stop coming to the picnics, and you stop coming to the meetings, and you stop, you don't come on a Saturday night when there's a prophet coming in, and you don't, you know. Not you guys. You guys are here. I'm talking about these empty seats. They probably sin this week, and they feel bad. Now, they're in a place where the devil can now isolate them. He has them by themselves, and he says, righteousness of God, after what you did? After what you did? It's like, God doesn't have the video. He doesn't have it. He doesn't even know what you're talking about. Get this. Let's say tomorrow morning, I'm thinking about sinning. I don't think I'll sin today. Who does that? No one really does that. It's like, I think I'll brush my teeth today. It's something you just do, right? Okay, righteousness, you have to awake to righteousness, because the Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. I used to think that that was a do this, don't do that type of thing. That's not what he's talking about. Awake to righteousness and sin not plainly means that when you awake to the revelation that you are righteous, sin won't be an issue. You mean I can go a whole day without sinning? You can go at least 33 years without sinning. You can go at least 33 years without sinning. Why? Because Jesus did it. And he was all God, yet he was all man.
Amen.
Never sinned.
What about when he whipped those people?
What about it? Oh, because you wouldn't do it, that makes what he did wrong? I don't think so. Okay.
Well, that wasn't very nice what he did.
Who said Jesus was nice? Where in the Bible does it say Jesus was nice?
Have you followed it?
So, I could wake up tomorrow, plan to sin, sin, and... You ready? Are you ready for this next line? I don't even have to ask for forgiveness. Wait a minute. Okay, I knew he was going to go too far. I don't even have to repent. Okay, wait a minute. No, sorry. Get him out of here, Pastor Albert. You picked a nut. When I sin, when I miss it, I mess up. Here's what I do. I go to the Father. I say, Lord, Father, in Jesus' name, I missed it. And I'm so grateful that I can appropriate your forgiveness right now. So I take that forgiveness, Father.
Amen.
I take it. I receive it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. And now I turn from that sin. Amen. You see, I'm using what he already gave me. He already gave me forgiveness. Amen. When we feel we have to go to the Father and ask forgiveness, the Father's like, what are you talking about? He literally does not know what you're talking about. But he knows everything. No, he doesn't. What? He doesn't know everything. As a matter of fact, the things that he doesn't know are the very things he chose to forget. Why? He can't have a sin consciousness for his own sake.
Amen.
So when he looks at you during the sin, he sees innocence.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow. Amen.
And I hope that messes you up.
It does.
This is too good to be true. Well, you're right. It is too good and it's true. It's too good. That's why one of the reasons you're not God. Because if you were God, I'd have to beg you to forgive me.
Yeah.
And maybe not get it.
That's right.
You got it right.
I know a pastor once, he says to this church, some of you have to repent to me. Bye. Alright, so backtrack. Now, the reason we ask forgiveness, the reason we even appropriate forgiveness, the reason we repent, God wants you to repent. It's not like he wants you to repent just to keep your mind and your heart soft. He wants you to be in that mode of being sensitive to what you might be weak to, but most importantly, he wants you to awake to the truth that you are the righteousness of God, because when you awaken to that truth, sin will cease to be an issue.
Amen.
It will cease to be an issue. Nothing will tear down a stronghold like the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing that can do that. So, he laughs at strongholds. When you allow him to come in and tear down strongholds, he laughs at them. He devours them, but it's funny. Once you get the revelation that you're the righteousness of God, sin will cease to be an issue. Sin is not an issue. Can I release you from that? Sin is not an issue. Sin is not an issue. You're the righteousness of God. And you got to be out of your mind to be the righteousness of God. You got to be out of your mind to consider suicide. And you got to be out of your mind to be the righteousness of God. The minute you get out of your way and out of your mind, you're going to start winning.
Yeah.
Money is not an issue anymore. It's not an issue. We went to IKEA the other day, bought a bunch of stuff. Because my wife likes those, and she's in there, so I like being in there. In any event, I'm here to tell you, money's not an issue. Money was always an issue with us. Always. We tried being broke. It stinks.
Amen.
It's no good. It's not good.
Amen.
Money's cool. Now, if you love it, now you got problems.
Yeah.
Do you know the love of your wife is the root to all evil?
No.
He thinks that's funny. And she said no. You better get out your Bible, people. The love of this keyboard is the root to all kinds of evil. The love of this keyboard.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's the root to all evil. Yeah. Yeah. The love of this church building is the root to all kinds of evil. Okay. The love of that PC is the root to evil.
I got it.
I'm just telling you, if you put something before him, he's the most jealous thing there ever was.
Yeah.
He makes the first commandment. Don't have anybody but me. All right. There's a God who knows who he is.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right? The first rule, number one, let's just get it out in the open.
Yeah.
Honoring no one else but me. That's it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Commandment numero uno. Everything else we'll figure out as we go along. But number one, you put anything else before me, I'm jealous. So is money good or not? Money is nothing. It's how you use it. Here's Christina's mantra. Ready? I want to give away 90 and live well on 10%. Wow. And then she says, oh, you think that's cool? Then listen to this. Because that was enough for me to handle. Then she says, what's 10% of $1 billion?
Wow.
I almost spit my coffee out into that. But I got to keep it cool. You know. I'm like, oh, well. She said, that's $100 million. I'm like, yeah. She says, so 90% of $1 billion is $900 million that we give away. And then she says to me, can you live well on $100 million?
Yeah.
I'm like, a couple things I would do, yeah. I get a new computer. And maybe some Mike and Ikes. I like Mike and Ikes. They keep me awake when I'm driving at night.
Yeah.
I get some of them and a new computer. I'm easy. And a BMW Z3 Roadster. And then I'm good. A couple of trips to Greece. I think I'm okay. Why not? I gave away $900 million.
Yeah.
So, I hold up a pencil. Is that good? Is a pencil good? A pencil, you can kill somebody with a pencil. Doesn't make the pencil bad. Makes the idiot using it bad. Right? Okay. Are you the right sense of God? This has to be made real to you. Because if it doesn't, you're always going to be struggling. Even as the righteousness of God, you're always going to be struggling, and you will never get to the point where you would be able to feel that God would actually use you to do anything. Because I got left back in fourth grade. I got left back in eighth grade. By the time I was a junior in high school, I dropped out. I had to go to my GED. So I would go to these classes to get your GED. I would cut those classes. And I never spent a day in college. And yet, you're all here tonight listening to me with bated breath.
Like, what's he gonna say next? Does he know my sister's name? Is he gonna say a name? So I can go, wow, he said a name that he would no way know. How does he know?
God loves you.
Amen.
And he, you know, so what am I saying?
We're busy waiting on God, and really, he's waiting on you. He's just waiting on you.
I want you to read Ephesians 1, 3, and I want you to put your name in it. And I want you to read it slow and out loud. Every day, for the next 21 days, I dare you.
Amen.
Jesus freed you from the curse and the bondage of sin.
Yes.
Do you believe you have a right to be forgiven?
Yes.
Do you believe you have a right to be made whole?
Yes.
Do you believe you have a right to be healthy?
Yes.
You believe you have a right to be filthy rich?
Yes.
Hmm. I felt it. A little. Yes. I'm going to tell you something. God said to me, do you believe you have a right to be free from sin? I said, yes. Do you believe you have a right to be healed? I said, yes. He says, do you believe you have a right to wealth and riches?
Yes.
And I said, whoa, yes. He said, if you were to ask those questions to a church, they'll all answer yes, but there will be a hesitancy on the answer coming forth of that last question, and that's why people hate the prosperity part of the gospel. Because people don't believe they have a right to really have wealth and riches. Oh, it's okay, I have a little bit, but now wait a minute, that's just too much. So it's the body being afraid of excess. 9 cars instead of 2, no, that's greed. They're constantly receiving things by faith until they get to a point where their mind is blown. See, right now they're okay, but sin and let them say they're the righteousness of God. Their cells, everything in them starts bumping into each other. Here's why I don't want you to sin, because sin will make you a coward. Someone that won't stand up for their rights is a coward. Sin makes cowards of men. Every time you sin, you got to fight that battle of having a right, and sin will start slowly talking you out of your righteousness, and that's why I don't want you to sin. I want you to have the confidence in your righteousness. Now, if you spend time with me and experience my goodness and my love and my presence, there's something I put on the inside of you that even without any scriptures will convince you that I'm a good God. You just know it because you spent time with me. So when someone comes up to you and says that I want to make you sick to teach you something, all of a sudden you're rejecting that because you know me. I'm not even talking about the word right now. I'm talking about spending time with me.
Amen.
Yeah. Tell you what, you haven't heard anything until you heard Jesus preach. That'll affect your physical body. You hear him preaching. But nothing's better than hearing the Father laugh. Wow. Because that'll make you burst out into tears just because it's just so hysterical. Hearing him laugh.
He's in charge. He put us in control. You see a hurricane happening? How long are you going to let it go on?
You can control the weather. You can. I was in New York once. This is the last story.
I was in New York once with my friend. And it was pouring. Pouring. Was it Philly? Whatever. I think it was New York.
We
were in Chelsea. Pouring down, and I had had it. Look, I don't like walking in the rain. I like walking in the rain with my wife, and that's all fun. But I needed to get somewhere, and I didn't want to get there soaking wet. And I'm like, enough of this. There's a whole bunch of people standing there, and me and my buddy. And I said, let's say we stop the rain. And he's like, okay. So it... I started praying in tongues, and I said, rain, stop in Jesus' name. Now that was cool by itself. The only thing cooler than that was the reaction of the people behind us. They were like, oh, did you just see that? Oh my God. And I'm like, look, I'd love to do an altar call right now. We gotta go. And we left. Dry as a bone. I guarantee he never forgot that. We are trying to impart to you that you are the very righteousness of God in Christ. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Sickness has no hold on you. Put your hand over the area that's hurting you right now. And if it's a mental thing, like you're worried about something, I want you to put your hand on your head. Now watch this, prophets. You ready? Lead them in a prayer of healing. You're going to heal yourself. You don't even need us laying hands on you.
Amen?
Amen. Lead them.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father,
hallelujah,
we take what Jesus paid for. We will not allow what Jesus did to be wasted.
To be wasted.
We take it.
I take my health.
It's bought and paid for. It's mine.
I have the receipt.
It's bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. So I take it. I take my health.
I stand on it.
And I will never give it back. I take my mental health. It's been bought and paid for. I will not give it back. It's mine.
And because it's mine,
I can give it away. And I can share it.
And I can share it to everyone.
Because it's a free gift from Jesus.
It's mine.
I have it.
I have it.
And no lie
of the enemy
can tell me anything different.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You did it all.
You did it all.
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 What's missing from all? Nothing.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. This is a power service. God loves you and gave you power. I'll tell you what. We were encouraged being here tonight. You really encouraged us. We love you. God loves you. Jesus is Lord. We want you to stay blessed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Pastor Albert.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.